Hi everyone, my name is Dr. Atul Pawar with 13 years of experience into healthcare and administration in various fields of healthcare. Till now we have seen how exactly the hospital planning, designing aspects, overall hospital is taking place. Now we'll consider how exactly individual department of the hospitals would be taken into consideration. So let's start with the general medical services as a chapter. And define the specific regions of the hospitals or specific departments of the hospitals in whole. Let's start with the outpatient department or OPD services, which we call it as. OPD services is a critical part of the hospital designated to provide medical services for non-resident patients. It comprises physical facilities, diverse medical staff, and represented the first point of contact between the hospital and the community. The significance of it is the shape of the hospital's reputation as well as the community perceptions. Proper planning is essential for the corporate hospitals for functioning. It is a shop window for the basically hospital. It is the first point of contact for the patient. OPD serves as the patient's initial interaction to the hospital. It's the entry point into the healthcare delivery system, the critical link in the hierarchical chain of the healthcare facility. It contributes to the healthcare in reductions of morbidity and mortality of the community. OPD serves as the patient's initial interaction with the hospital, the entry point into the healthcare delivery systems, and also introduced through the reductions of the morbidity and mortality with promotion of the healthcare disease and prevention part. It helps in maximizing the patient's inpatient admissions and conversions into the scarcity of the bed. Reputation of the building. It plays a pivotal role in building and maintaining the hospital's reputation. OPD helps in maximizing the patient's inpatient admissions, conversions of scarcity of the beds. The reputation of the building plays a pivotal role in maintaining the hospital reputation. The proper planning and efficiency of the OPD services are essential for the corporate hospital. The factors involved into OPD planning are basically depends on the unmet needs of population, referrals, alternative services, and hospital reputations with seasonal changes. The statistics basically suggest that 1.5 to 3 patients per bed are resulting in 450 to 900 daily OPD visits for a 300-bedded hospital. That means out of 450 to 900 daily OPD visits which happens, there are 1.5 to 3 patients per bed admitted for the hospital. Planning depends on patients including emergencies, walk-ins, referral patients. Example, a road traffic accident patient coming in for emergency medical services or probably a patient coming in for referred by for a specific treatment or a specific doctor has been a common example of people walking in to the OPD department. Units of service rendered in OPD. Basically, there are different measurable services or volume such as diagnostic, orthopedic or vaccination services included into the OPD services. Now, the crucial part of OPD is planning or determining the required area for the OPD services. Depending on how exactly the workforce planning would take place, how exactly the patient service area would take place, what are the measures or what are the things which would be involved into the OPD, and how exactly the OPD service could be counted into. Service time. Basically, it is the time taken by a physician to diagnose and provide instruction to the patient. Essential service like scheduling the appointment and preventing the overcrowding of the OPD helps into reducing the service time of the patient. Room hours. Basically, it is the hours defined by a consulting doctor and a consulting rooms basically multiplied by the number of scheduled clinical hours. So, number of doctors present inside the hospital, how many consulting rooms multiplied by the number of scheduled clinical hours or the scheduled clinical hours the doctor has been giving to the hospital in the OPD. It is a key factor in knowing the capacity of the hospital, basically how exactly the hospital would function, what would be the bed strength, and how exactly the bed strength would happen. It also helps in holding capacity and the lifting capacity of the hospital. Factors influencing the physical capacity of holding the people at any given point of time. This would also capacitate into waiting area utilization, subsidiary areas, and examination cubicles. Location. Depends on the hospital categorization as well as the broad classification of the beds. Recommendation of OPD distribution in different size of the hospitals is different. Physical facilities, allocation of the space for public, clinical administration and circulation areas is the important factor while considering the physical facilities of the OPD. The breakdown services of the per square foot usage of the footfall of the patient is important part in understanding how the OPD is been classified and how the OPD is been designed. People coming in the OPD are from emergency accident cases, that is from casualty department. A patient would need urgent attention, basically like road traffic accident, which might require a surgical intervention or orthopedic consultation at immediate basis, or there would be sudden medical emergencies, which would be like an asthmatic patient or epileptic patient, or a patient require a patient coming in for MI, or a patient coming in for a gastric trouble, pancreatitis, or acute respiratory illnesses. This would be the ideal situation of medical sudden medical emergencies. Unreferred patient. There are some patients who come out for routine medical checkup and to understand the well-being of themselves. So this routine health checkups or follow-ups basically for the patients who are pre-admitted and then coming in for the follow-up visits with the doctors are the ideal patients who are unreferred patient. The typical walk-in to the OPD without prior prior reference or prior intimations is the walk-in patients admission. Referred patients are sourced from different areas like PHCs or by general practitioners, by nearby general practitioners or nearby general surgeons who refer the patients for higher treatments or higher interventions into the hospital. Like a person coming in for a acute heart attack, like managed by a cardiologist with the procedures like PTC or CABG inside the hospital, or osteoporosis for knowing whether the patient would require a knee replacement surgery or laminectomy or a slip disc for slip disc problems is the classic example of it. Or there would be some patients who would be coming in with an appointment who are knowing they have some congenital deformities like PDA or there is clip left which are recommended for a plastic surgeons basically. So how exactly this source of outpatient patients are being classified? There are some cases which are underfed cases who directly walking, which would include routine health checkup or follow-up basically. There are some emergency and accidental cases. Emergency and accidental cases basically include a road traffic accident or any cases been referred, been coming in directly for uncomfortness would be termed as emergency. Refer cases from private practitioners or dispensaries or peripheral hospitals with knowing that they would require an tertiary care management or a management by a superior or tertiary care physicians out there. So these would be the refer cases. And there are patients who are discharged from the hospitals coming in for follow. These all cases basically do come into OPD functioning. Now, what exactly are the physical facilities which are to be planned in OPD? Understanding the OPD requirement and what exactly how understanding the requirement of the OPD with the consulting rooms. There are public areas which are designated. There are designated pathways for the patient flow, which would include main entrance, reception, and registration. So main entrance would have welcoming and accessibility welcoming pathway where it would be welcomed by security persons or counselor or a integrator out there who would guide the patient to reception. There's a reception counter and or an information counter where in a central area where a patient inquires and understands the requirement of the patient's need and guide the patient to particular OPD sections. There's a registration counter either in the reception area itself or on a particular OPD, outside a particular OPD, which would record the patient's name, the vital details, and patient's billing part. These are located mostly at the entrance, or there is a separate queue at the reception for the patient efficient handling. Circulations basically happens, there's circulatory areas like corridors, stairs, lifts, which would compromise 30% of the total hospital building area. This area has to be efficiently designed for smooth movement of the patient, staff within the OPD. There are certain non-clinical areas like entrance hall, floor providing welcoming atmosphere. So basically non-clinical areas would have a entrance hall which would give a welcoming atmosphere for the patients to come in and be part of the hospital and enhance their services. Waiting area where patient would be able to sit, the estimated allocation at peak hours allowing 8 square feet per patient is to be designated for a waiting area. This is the particular area at which patient generates a confidence of the confidence for the hospital and understands their requirement. Public toilet and washroom, these has to be specifically separate for men and women, ensuring there is a hygiene maintained inside the public toilets and washroom. A snack bar, basically a refreshment area for the patient experience and patient attendance experience. Clinical area. Clinical area consists of consultation room, which would have a cubicle size approximately 160 square feet, accommodating doctors essential. It would have a special examination room dedicated only for the departments like eye, ENT and psychiatry, because these departments would definitely need a larger space and would have additional facilities involved into it. There's a treatment area, which is called as an auxiliary services space, which would vary from 120 to 160 square feet, which actually is a designated area for administering some injections or conducting some lab tests, x-rays for that purpose, visualizing the x-rays and understanding and taking the and making the patient understand about the x-rays, dressing or minor surgical procedures, which would include incision and drainage or surgical remover, suture remover, or probably plaster cutting or plaster removal techniques. So different areas, different treatment plans in that particular treatment area. Basically, auxiliary facilities like injections or pharmacy are being included into auxiliary facilities. All auxiliary facilities are like in-house laboratories, radiology services, blood bank, education, basically understanding what exactly the people who are coming in for regular health checkups and understanding what would be the possible outcomes of particular disease condition and how exactly taking in the dietary services into consideration, psychiatric services into consideration, social service into consideration, or understanding the preventive social medicines or screening basically of the patients. So these are coming under auxiliary facilities, and auxiliary facilities are injection or clinic areas or pharmacies for that purpose. Other clinical areas would be administrative areas for the hospital with 100 beds or more would require a 150 square feet administrative area for planning, organizing and coordinating of the OPD services. There is a separate store facilities for with closets, shelves and pharmacy stores for inventory management of the OPD services. Preventing overcrowding in OPD. The reason for overcrowding is basically due to incorrect placements, restricted registration time, absence of appointment system and shortage of medical staff. Incorrect placements basically means the injection rooms are too far away, or probably casualty department or the dispensary department is too far away from the OPD area, or there is a limited type of patient's registration, or there is the absence of appointment system which would lack, which would make the OPD area overcrowded, or there is shortage of medical staff which would result into overcrowding of the facilities because limited number of staff could be catering only limited number of people at one given point. Solution for effective functioning is optimizing the physical facilities by ensuring smooth flow and quick intercommunications within the OPD. Accessibility to common services like services of both inpatient and outpatient services are easily accessible. Adequate staffing by providing sufficient doctors, nurses and supportive staff to help the healthcare needs of the patient. Extended OPD hours, introducing evening OPD services, special clinics at different types like well baby clinics or diabetic clinics or super specialty clinics in afternoons, and enhancing patient guidance like information graphics and sign systems, effective inquiry and reception services, procedural instruction printed on the reversal side of the investigation requisition slip, hospital reception and help desk. This is a vital aspect of the OPD services. This combined for a reception is combined for a small hospital, separate for a 100 bed hospital. It provides a welcoming and guiding assistance to the patients. It also helps in providing initial assistance and information to patients and their family. It is separate for actually in bigger hospital, there is a separate reception counter or a registration counter for old and new patients. There is a token system basically for the patient's smooth flow. New patient receives a laminated registration tickets or a registration card for that purpose. There is a respective, they're guided to respective OPDs with the serial OPD numbers. Administrative register is maintained with their IP numbers. There is a legal documentation with no alterations. Patient fill the admission form and relatives sign the consent form prior to the admission for the OPD. There's another important department in the hospital which is called as casualty. This is also known as emergency medical service department. Functionality varies and based on the hospital size and hospital availability. This is an independent department in larger hospital basically, which objective is basically for the first aid treatments, understanding the referrals and intramural and extramural admissions. Intramural admissions is basically into OPD, extramural is into OPD as well as intramural is into IPT. Relationship is basically collaborating among the hospital departments, understanding the hospital departments and guiding the patients to the respective departments. This works round the clocks. It is handled 24/7, mostly known as emergency department. The planning and space allocation of this department is basically, the rule is basically there has to be 100 square meter for a daily patient load of 100, and additional space is provided for supportive facilities. The casualty location ideally has to be on the ground floor, and there has to be maintained a separate entrance and exit directed from the main road to the department. It has to be well marked with proper lighting and signs so that patient is not misguided or miscommunicated to the department. The entrance basically has to be very separate for ambulance. There has to be proper ramps and swinging doors for easy patient accessibility, and there has to be provision for receiving the patients on trolley, stretchers or wheelchairs. Physical facilities which are to be needed while planning a casualty department are, there should be a waiting area, reception area, help desk and proper sitting facility with lighting and ventilation. There has to be separate toilets for both the sexes. There has to be a casualty triage station to assess the patient's condition based on their severity. It is to be segregated into critical and non-critical areas as well as critical and non-critical treatment part. Casualty equipments which are to be needed, basically Equipments which are to be needed in the casualty department are portable defibrillator, ECG, X-ray, respiratory aids, life-saving drugs, and intravenous fluid. Casualty staffing is the prime aspect on depending on how exactly the casualty has been functioning. There should be a designated medical officer or on-call doctors, nursing staff, and technicians for X-rays and lab services. There has to be supporting staff to help, like helpers and sweepers inside the casualty department. The other vital department in the hospital is called as nursing station. Different types of ward design would have a different type of nursing station attached inside the IPD departments. Let's go into the detail of how exactly the nursing departments are categorized. Traditionally, nursing unit from which most contemporary arrangements have evolved are evolved by Florence Nightingale. There's an open ward basically with 25 to 30 beds. It is called as a general ward or probably the economy ward, mostly in the hospitals. The services located are either at the end of the ward or at the starting of the ward. Basically, this is the nursing stations, and so they are able to visualize all the beds at one go. This is another L-shaped ward design. So when we say as a Nightingale ward, where the nursing station is being placed at the end of the ward, and nursing station could actually visualize all the beds at one go parallelly. In L-shaped ward, the beds are placed in L shape, and there is a nursing station placed at the corner of the L, where nursing staff are able to visualize all the beds at one go from one corner of the eye. So nursing staff are able to understand the requirements of the patients by this arrangement. This is another design for placing a nursing station inside the ward. It is called T-shaped ward, where beds are placed in a T-shaped manner, where nursing station is placed out here on the T aspect of on the junction of the T, whereas there is a section of patients which are on the either side of the T. Supportive area plays an important role behind the nursing station. This is considered as a vital aspect. A circular ward is considered as a vital aspect in planning of ICUs, or probably where nursing station or probably nursing station are able to visualize the patients or monitor the patients simultaneously at all the beds. What happens is, in Nightingale ward or in L-shaped ward, or for that matter T-shaped ward, the designated area in Nightingale and L-shaped are to be are visualized only for the first bed is clearly visualized, whereas the last bed has a disadvantages of nursing station not being able to see monitor the patient thoroughly of both the L-shaped last beds. Whereas in T-shape, nursing area are able to visualize monitor all the patient area through one go, but the visual aspect is hampered by nursing station being placed only at the junction and are not being able to visualize the extremities in a proper way. Whereas the supportive area is far away from the bed. Whereas in circular wards, what happens is beds are placed in such a manner that nursing station, which is placed in the center, are able to monitor each and every bed in an equivalent manner, and so the equal amount of care is being given to the patient. Square-shaped nursing station. Circular or square-shaped nursing station are placed mostly in the ICU, where criticality or the monitoring of patient has to be done on a regular basis, where nursing station could actually see all the beds and can monitor all the beds at a given point of time. Y shape ward. Patient's area arranged in a triangular shape with the nursing station at the center. This also helps in monitoring the patients at one go, but the extremities of the beds are not being monitored with the vital care. So there is a restrictions of movement basically. Cross-shaped beds. Here, the arrangement of square shape or cross-shaped ward has a different arrangements of bed, which would help in the smooth flow of movement of nursing as well as paramedical staff. This would also help in understanding the need of the patients and monitoring the patient in a proper way. So let's go ahead and understand once we know that how the beds are being placed and how the nursing counters would be placed. Now understand what exactly are the different types of floor plans for wards in a multi-story building to be designed. There are different floor plans which are to be designed for the beds, for the wards basically to be considered. As we understood, the hospital infrastructure is designated in a different manner and different way. The accessibility points or the movement of the patients proves a vital factor to determine which ward would be placed where. There would be an H-shaped plan for floor nursing units to be planned, where entire floor nursing would be placed in the lobby or a passage area, and nursing units or wards would be placed out on the edge handles of the floor. Whereas there would be center corridor for multiple rib pattern, where there would be two nursing units placed for the unit for the floor, and each ward would be designated in a different way. Or there would be an E-shaped plan where there would be a single nursing unit placed, which would be catering to three different wards. Or there can be a T-shaped plan where a single nursing unit could help two designated wards out there with having a substation unit placed out here. Rig pattern ward. These are basically small set of rooms with four, six, or one bed each at different arrangements. Bed arranged are either parallel to longitudinal wall for patient comfort. The challenges or disadvantage of rig pattern or solutions is call bell, signs, and two-way speakers are to be placed at such a junction where probably it might create an obstruction for another patient's accessibility and mobility. Patient staff and experience in rig pattern and ward designs proved to be an obstructory constraints in designing the ward. There are different combinations of two wards, basically with the common service facilities, sharing of the relationship between the wards, twin wards with the common service facility, two nursing unit with a common service facility, or max. This basically use of common service area for different wards actually depends on how exactly the service area is being utilized. So maximum efficiency are shared through this common share facilities of the particular wards. So basically understanding what exactly I'm trying to tell is if the wards are being placed out here, there would be a staff base and working access areas for nursing, and there would be another ward being placed out here. So this could act as a staff base where service areas would be placed, and this would act as a nursing station. So in any of the designs which we mentioned earlier, T-shape, rig shape, Y-shape, or Nightingale ward pattern, everywhere a service base or a staff base has to be designated along with the nursing area, which would include all the part like pantry, toilet, closets, dry area, dirty utility rooms, shared accommodations, waiting areas, attendants, overnight stays. Everything would be included into these staff-based areas. Now, what happens basically is when we design an area for a ward, nursing area proves a vital role to understand the requirements of the area of the patients and give a monitoring and the therapeutic aspects to the patients. Whereas there are some areas where patient treatment rooms or the doctor's utility room would be designated. So this is an ideal design where beds are being placed for wards. There is a facilities for double sharing rooms, which would be for privacy concerns. There would be treatment rooms. There would be pantry involved into it. There would be day space basically for convenience of the service and facility rooms. There would be toilet areas designated for different sects. And there would be doctor's room, which would be a relaxing or a comforting room for the doctors who are providing service for this entire area. This is another structure where designated areas are being classified or spaced out according to the visuality, where they would be able to provide the maximum monitoring as well as the service facilities to the people out there. Now, understanding this requirement and design, there are specific parameters which are to be considered while designing these areas: the ceiling height, the width of the corridors, the windows, the doors, the dadlows, noise reductions in certain areas. There has to be some areas which are to be ventilated in natural way or mechanical way. There are certain areas where patients' well-being is being thought of. There are certain areas where has to be designated for patients. There are certain areas which are to be designated for patients' relative. There are certain examination areas. There are certain night lighting areas. There are certain general areas. So all these different parameters are to be considered while considering the wards, the designing or planning of this particular areas. Illumination proves to be a vital aspect in knowing how the patient's well-being is to be taken into consideration. There has to be proper light source for that purpose. Patient services like call bell or power sockets or lights are to be placed at the patient's convenience level. This helps us to enhancing the patient experience as well as giving a proper aspect in healing of the patient. Sanitary facilities. Sanitary facilities are basically providing the areas which are utilized by the areas for services like bathrooms, WCs, wash basins, dirty utility rooms for janitors, basically to keep and store their functioning, water and electric supply. All these areas are to be ensured with proper hygiene and convenience at facility are to be ensured with having proper hygiene facilities with convenience. There are certain areas for the patient's well-being to be considered. There are bedside lockers which are to be given to the patients, built-in cupboards for storing the blankets, pillow covers, and other areas. There are lockers to be provided for the staff for their changing clothes or probably their stuffs basically. As well as there has to be separate designated area for trolleys, wheelchair. There has to be duty doctor's room for their relaxations, their assigning duties. Nursing stations paves a way to understand and monitor the patients on a particular level, their relaxing room, their utilization rooms. The treatment facility or the minor procedure room has to be designated for that purpose. The another rooms which are to be considered like pantry, dining room for patients' attendance as well as for the staff. The proper this basically are been equipped with different facilities like dining room in wards basically is considered for patients' relative and serving the patient. Ward pantry is basically a division where storage of the food materials and utensils and cutlery are to be placed out there. This experience of having different designated area at different places inside the ward helps in improving the patient satisfaction level through auxiliary facilities. nursing services. The main objective of this nursing services is to provide a patient care and identification of the problems for the patients and promoting the health. There are diverse approaches to the healthcare promotions, basically through health education, nutrition education, patient education, and clinical educations. According to Dr. Lamberts, nursing is a dynamic, therapeutic, and educative process in meeting the healthcare needs of the society.